You're listening to the Revolution Church Podcast. To learn more, including our gathering times in Crossville, Tennessee, visit us at crossvillerevolution.com.
Y'all are at church in the middle of July. You could be at the lake, you could be at the pool, you could be anywhere, but you decided to come to church today. So thank you for that. Find somebody around you and say, "What's up, Jesus Jr.? Come on, man. Bunch of holy rollers." My grandfather used to say, "I'd rather roll into heaven than slide into hell any day." Amen, y'all. So, hey, we are really glad you're here, though. Want to welcome you. And if you're new to Revolution Church, you're here when we are smack dab in the middle of a sermon series where we are going through the book of Proverbs. What we like to do here at this church, the overwhelming majority of the time, 95% of the time, is preach through books of the Bible or large passages of Scripture, usually verse by verse. The book of Proverbs has been a little different, though, than what we're used to, because Proverbs is one of the books of the Bible that's written in what we call Hebrew poetry. And so in one chapter of Proverbs, you could have 10 different subjects that are mentioned. And as a result, what we've done during this series is, yes, we've done some what we call expository preaching, verse-by-verse preaching, chapter 1. We talked about the adulterous woman. We looked at chapter 5. But what we've really done the majority of time during this Proverbs series is taken the totality of a subject and where it's talked about in Proverbs and unpacked every one of those scriptures. And today is going to be no different. Actually, today is going to be very similar to the next 2 weeks. So for 3 weeks, we're really going to do a mini series, a mini sermon series inside the series of Proverbs as we talk about our speech and our mouths and our tongues and the things that come out of them, like speech. That's what I mean. Not like when you throw up and stuff like that, but like speech for the next 3 weeks. Before we get started, I want to make something clear, though, because I'm going to need some help from y'all over these next 3 weeks. We've got to get to a place where we set down our religiosity and we be real. Let's be transparent. There's going to be some confession that takes place together as we go through this today. This is going to be a conversation where I ask several questions and I need you to be engaged. The biggest sign of this church is not the sign that says Revolution Church. It's not the LED sign that you'll find outside. It's the sign that you see painted in the wall on the lobby that says, "Y'all help me, no perfect people allowed." There ain't one person in here right now, one person that's watching us online that is perfect. And today, we need to rest in this, we need to admit this, and we need to put off the fakeness that many of us are used to in the buckle of the Bible Belt of Crossville, Tennessee. I mean, how much more Bible Belt do you get than Crossville, Tennessee, okay? So let's be real today, and let's rock this thing out. We're basing today and the next 2 weeks, this 3 weeks, off of Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 through 21, that says this: "A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the fruit of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the," what, y'all? Tongue. Notice the mouth, his lips. They're in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There are two tracks that your speech has the potential to run on. The first is what we will call speech that harms, or as in this passage, it calls it speech that brings death. The second is what we will call speech that helps, or as it's referred to here, speech that gives life. In Proverbs 21:23, it says, "Those who guard their mouths and their tongues," in other words, your speech, "keep themselves from calamity." The purpose of today, the purpose of these 3 weeks talking about our speech, is to learn what Proverbs has to say to make our life better, in the sense that we learn how to guard our mouths and our tongue. Guard the things that we say, so that we keep our lives in a place of peace instead of a place of drama and calamity. There are several subjects that are spoken of when it comes to speech. That's why it's taken us 3 weeks to get through this. There's no way I could get through this in one day. The first that we're going to look at is flattery. 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 Anybody know what flattery is? Say amen. Let me give you a definition. Flattery is insincere compliments spoken with deceitful motives, or excessive praise in hopes of gaining favor in the eyes of another. How many of y'all in here have ever flattered someone before? Raise your hand. Ooh, not too many hands going up. Put your hands down. Okay, let's go like this. Okay, do like this. Get your shoulders warmed up. Okay, y'all? I'm going to need your help today, I'm telling you. Put your left hand up like this. Is your left hand? Everybody in here do it. Okay, there you go. Okay, now put your right hand up. Let's see if that's working. Everybody in here, looking good, y'all. Looking good. Now, let me ask that question again. Okay? Every one of these, spoiler alert, we've all done them. Okay? How many of you in here have ever flattered someone before? The preacher has two hands raised. A flatterer is someone, for lack of a better way of putting it, that is full of bull. Someone that butters people up is the way we like to say it in our vernacular today. Everybody in here that has kids, you've been flattered before. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, when I come home on Sundays after church, and one of my kids says something like, "Daddy, that was the best sermon ever." Thank you for laughing at that compliment. Like, you know that can't be true, you know. "Daddy, your hair looked so good when you were preaching today. You look so buff up there when you were preaching." What do I say to them? "What do you want? Stop working me. You're wanting something." That's flattery. Not all salesmen are bad. My dad was a salesman his whole life, very honest man, and there's some great salesmen out there. But the idea is, think of like a real dirty salesman that tells you what you want to hear, flatters you with the motive of selling you something. They don't really mean it. The difference in flattery and affirmation is motive. When we speak something positive about someone else to someone else for the benefit of ourselves, it is flattery. When we speak something positive about someone else to someone else for the benefit of the hearer, that is defined as affirmation, or it could be defined as honoring someone in a verbal manner. One theologian says this about flatterers: flatterers look like friends as wolves look like dogs. The great preacher Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, says this about flatterers. Flattery is when the wolf licks the lamb, he is preparing to wet his teeth with its blood. Rest assured, when someone is flattering, it's most likely just a matter of time before they stick the knife in your back. Proverbs has a lot to say about flattery. Number one, it tells us that flattery is fraud. It's a form of lying. In chapter 20, verse 17, it says, "Food gained by fraud," in other words, another translation might say, "Food gained by flattery tastes sweet, but one ends up with a mouthful of gravel." I love Hebrew poetry. I love the visual images it gives us. Think about that. You end up with a mouthful of gravel. We did a sermon on adultery several weeks ago. There are 2.5 chapters in the book of Proverbs that are committed to talking about adultery, and adultery is personified in these books of the Bible when it talks about it. And in chapter 7 of Proverbs, it describes the lips of the adulterous woman as, guess what? Flattering. The adulterous woman has flattering lips. The issue with flattery is not whether what you're saying is true or not true. The issue is whether it is calculated and said to achieve a selfish purpose. Flattery, in other words, does not flow from sincerity or a truthful place inside of you. Flattery is purely external, and flattery is manipulative. Secondly, the book of Proverbs tells us about flattery that flattery leads to no gain. Chapter 28, verse 23 says, Whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor rather than the one who has a flattering tongue. Flattery at its core is something that Jesus absolutely despised. It really is hypocrisy. It's acting like you admire something or someone with a secret manipulation in mind when you do so. When we flatter someone, we deceive that person in order to gain advantage for ourselves deceitfully. Kent Hughes gave a great definition of what flattery is, and in doing so, he also gives a definition of what gossip is, which is also one of the things we're talking about today, too. Listen to what he says. This is Kent Hughes. Gossip is saying behind a person's back what you would never say to their face. Flattery is saying to a person's face what you would never say behind their back. What a good definition. Anybody ever been flattered before by somebody? Yeah, we've participated in it, and we've had it done to us too. The second kind of speech that harms that the Bible talks about is what in the book of Proverbs it refers to as boasting. Boasting. This could also be bragging on yourself. Now let me ask this question. How many of you guys have ever boasted or bragged on yourself? Raise your hand. Oh, we don't got all the hands up. Okay. If you're sitting next to someone that struggles with boasting, stand up right now and point at them and say, they struggle with it right here. Just kidding. Some of y'all actually did that. Just email the office for marriage counseling later this week, okay, y'all? We all struggle with it. We all struggle with bragging. Boasting is defined as something that occurs when we speak too highly of ourselves or our own accomplishments. Boasting is really the symptom of a deeper sin known as pride. Now, in June, during what's deemed as Pride Month in our country now, we did an entire sermon on pride and really unpacked it. I would encourage you to go see it. But it's really, boasting and bragging is a condition of the heart that seeks attention, wants all the attention to be on the good things that you think you've done. Proverbs tells us that boasting is empty promises. Listen to chapter 25, verse 14, it says, like clouds and wind without rain is one who boasts of gifts never given. In other words, someone that boasts is someone that promises all types of things, but they never come through with it. Our church is almost 11 years old. In 2 weeks, our church will be 11 years old. I believe it's 2 weeks. And over 11 years, you would not believe how many people have come to me and they've promised to do all kinds of things for the church. I've had people come and tell me, make pledges that they were going to give all this money to the church and all this stuff, and they've never done what they said they'd do. They've never even given 1 cent. That's boasting. That's boasting. For some reason, they wanted me to think that they had money or think that they were going to do something for the church and look at them different and treat them different based off what they were going to accomplish. That's what boasting is. Maybe you grew up with a parent that constantly promised you, I promise I'll be at your game, but they never showed up. Oh, the gifts are in the mail for Christmas, but they never came. This is boasting. We say things like, they mean well, they just don't ever follow through. And if this is you, this is what you're struggling with. They have good intentions, but their mouth writes a check that their butt can't cash. Y'all know what I'm talking about? This is people that boast. It's empty promises. Secondly, Proverbs tells us that people who boast are dumber than fools. People who boast are dumber than fools. How many of y'all know you got to be in rough shape to be dumber than a fool? Dumber than a fool. Listen to Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? In other words, you think you got it together. You think you've done something good. You even verbalize that with people. There is more hope for a fool than them. There's more hope for a complete idiot than it is for a person that brags and boasts. A couple months ago, somebody on my staff called me out. I was telling him about something that was taking place in the church that was a good thing. But I was also, in telling them about this thing that God was doing in our church, telling them how I was a part of this thing happening in our church. And Pastor Brandon, our next gen pastor, when I told him this, looked at me and said, "Dang, Pastor, that's like a humble brag right there." Y'all ever heard that term before? Humble brag. I hate this series, man. I'm having to tell y'all all the stuff I do wrong in this Proverbs series. Y'all do it too, though, okay? So that's a humble brag. That's a humble brag. Listen, there could not be more of an oxymoron than humble brag. Maybe government efficiency, but humble brag, you know what I'm saying? That don't happen. Humble brag, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. We create these phrases in our culture, and they don't happen. See, when you're a Christian and you truly understand God's grace, the first step in coming to know Christ and getting saved is you have a recognition of your brokenness and your sinfulness. You have a recognition that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the only thing every single one of us deserves is the wrath of God and the punishment of hell. When you recognize and read the scripture and you get your mind wrapped around that the book of Isaiah says that all those things you brag about and boast about that you think are good, they're filthy rags before the Lord. And I'm not even going to tell you what that means translated, because I've said way too many offensive things in this series. So just go look it up. Go Google it. You'll be blown away at the strong language that's being used in Isaiah when it says your good works are filthy rags. In the New Testament, in the book of Philippians, it says your good works, those things that you think you're talented at, you're so good at, and I've done this and I've done that, they are as dung before the Lord. They're a pile of dung. So when a person meets Jesus and wraps their head around grace, they recognize how desperately they need the blood of Christ over them, because it's the only righteousness they have. And when they stand before a holy God one day in judgment, the only hope they have of going to heaven and not being condemned is by having the grace of God in their life, by having Jesus in their life. When you recognize that, there'll be no place for boasting about yourself. There'll be no place for bragging about yourself. No place for doing that at all. Boasting means you have a high opinion of yourself. And at its core, what it does is it belittles what God has done in you if you're saved. Let me say that again. It belittles the work of God in you, not the work you've done on yourself, not how good you are, not how much better you've gotten, the grace of God in your life, what God has done in you, it completely belittles it. We have an example of a person that wanted to boast about themselves. Think about the definitions. Wanted all the attention to be on them. Wanted to talk about their good works. Wanted people to think about them as equal to or greater than God. Who is that? Who is that that struggled with giving God glory? Who is it that struggled with, "I want all the attention on me"? Satan himself. Lucifer. One preacher said, "You're never more like Satan than when you want the attention to all be on you." Boasting, pride, all these things. Thirdly, Proverbs tells us about boasting that we should let other people praise you. Don't boast about yourself. There's nothing wrong with letting other people praise you, but don't do it about yourself. In chapter 27, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider and not your own lips." Jesus himself even honored people verbally, admired people verbally. When John the Baptist died, as an example, when he got his head cut off, what did Jesus say? John the Baptist was the greatest human being that has ever lived. He gave him props for who he was and what he did, and really honored him. So honoring someone, admiration from others, is a wonderful thing. When we talk about speech that helps, we're going to talk about admiration and how that can encourage people. But what the point it's making is, verbally admiring and honoring yourself is boasting. So don't do it for yourself. I don't know if y'all know this, but in 2024, something's going on. I'm just filling you in. If you weren't aware of this, there's a presidential election going on this year. Does anybody know that? Am I the only one? Y'all didn't know about that. It's probably not on your social media. It's kind of quiet. But just the craziest 2 months we've ever seen. And I'm not talking bad about anybody, okay? But this doesn't have to do with Republicans or Democrat. This just has to do with, in this election year for this presidential campaign, we have seen glaring examples of boasting. I don't care which side you're on. It seems to be, and I understand there are some good politicians. There are some good ones. But it seems to be that part of being in politics is being willing to boast about yourself, brag about yourself. We just saw one convention. We're going to see it again in a couple of weeks. I'm awesome. I'm awesome. I'm awesome. What I've done is great. What they did was terrible. What I've done has been the best thing ever. We're the most successful. We're the best. Boast, 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 boast. So when you see that, keep that in mind this year. That's what we're trying to stay away from, is boasting. John Piper says this. He says, boasting is the voice of pride in the heart of the strong. By the way, he also points out in the same writing, in the same book, that victimhood is the voice of pride in the heart of the weak. But boasting is the voice of pride in the heart of the strong. It is the outward form of the inner condition of pride. Man, how many of y'all have ever seen somebody that's boasted before? Raise your hand. We've done it, right? And we've seen it. And it makes you want to throw up when you see it. Amen, y'all? Thirdly, the third subject that it talks about when it talks about speech that harms. And I really want us to get this one, Rev Church. I really, really want us to get this one. This is the subject. We're closing with this one today because this is the one that, if I'm being honest with you, I struggle with. And I know everybody in here struggles with this one as well. Gossip. Gossip. Everybody say gossip. I mean, y'all struggle with gossip. Raise your hand. Raise your feet. Every last one of us has sinned in the area of gossip. In the church, gossip is the sin that runs more rampant than, I believe, any other sin. In the book of Proverbs, it's very interesting. In your translation, it talks about gossipers over and over. But the actual Hebrew translated doesn't say gossipers, it says whispers. It's referred to as whispers. In other words, a gossip is someone that comes up to your ear, whispers something into your ear so that other people can't hear it. All kinds of different definitions of what gossip is. Let me give you just a few so you can understand. Any talking that causes people to divide into camps, Chuck Swindoll says, is gossip. Man, what a good definition. You ever seen a church split before? If you've been in church more than 5 minutes, you have. What's always running rampant? Gossip. Gossip. And it divides people into these camps. Gossip is speech that cuts down someone in the eyes of the hearer. Gossip, again, the issue is not if it's true or if it's false. It's the intent of sharing information in a malicious manner. And behind gossip is always the idea that I want to make myself look better or I want to make myself feel better by saying something about someone that's not here that will cut them down. That is gossip. Proverbs number 1 tells us that gossip is poison to the listener. Poison to the listener. You know, if there's one scripture in the Bible where God says something, I take it very serious, don't y'all? Amen, y'all? Amen. Take it very serious. If there is two scriptures verbatim, Man, I go, boy, we better really listen. Gossip poisons the listener. Listen to chapter 18, verse 8, which you'll hear in the next point as well. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. I love Hebrew poetry. Here Solomon is comparing gossip to food. He says their gossip is choice morsels. In other words, it tastes good. That's figuratively what he's saying. What he's saying is, for some reason, human beings, more often than not, we enjoy gossip. It feels good to talk about that person that hurt us. It feels good, for some reason, to see somebody or hear somebody talk bad about someone else. Something about it makes us feel better about ourselves. It's a choice morsel. What he's saying, staying in line with the food reference, is you've got to treat gossip like a diabetic treats sugar. You cannot have it in your life in any way whatsoever. Gossip is a completely non-essential nutrient for your spiritual life, in other words. Let me give you this example. Maybe we'll understand it and make sure we drive it home with this. How many of y'all like Little Debbies? Raise your hand. Come on, y'all. Little Debbies? Man, I love me some Little Debbies. Amen, y'all? Amen, y'all? Amen. Christmas tree cakes? Amen, y'all? Amen. Cosmic brownies? Amen. Fudge rounds? Amen. Nutty Buddies? I know them all, baby. I grew up on them. Y'all know what I mean? Y'all with me? Peanut butter bars, zebra cakes. Can I get a witness? Amen, y'all. Amen. Star crutches. Man, we could keep going down the list. Y'all going to be hungry by the time I'm done, right? Little Debbie's taste amazing. They're amazing. I could eat a whole box of them and not even blink. You know what I mean? But let's be honest. They're made of processed sugars, processed fats, and lots of chemicals. They're completely a non-essential thing for your diet. Like, you know, like you got to get B vitamins and you got to get vitamin C, but nobody in here is like, well, got to get my Little Debbie in for the week. You know what I'm saying? Well, some of y'all probably are, but you know what I mean. Stop it. I mean, let's be honest. They're not good for you, right? You don't need to eat them. Gossip is spiritual Little Debbies. You don't need them. They don't help you. It's not healthy. It's poison to the listener. Paul says in the New Testament that Christians consume each other with their mouths. It's almost as if he has these scriptures in mind when he makes that statement. So we got to be careful when it comes to gossip. Spurgeon, again, let me quote him a second time. Charles Spurgeon says this: remember that as the receiver, you're just as bad as the thief. So is the hearer of scandal. They're just as guilty as the sharer in the guilt of it. If there were no listening ears, there would be no tale-bearing tongues. I don't know if y'all know this, but my father and I, we opened the GNC store here in town 25 years ago. We were the first ones that owned the General Nutrition Center, the vitamin store here in town, and Joy has it now. She does a great job with it. But 25 years ago, we opened it up, and on our first opening day, they sent us this big, huge order to stock the store. And if I'm being honest with you, I think that the warehouse sent a lot of stuff to us because we were just opening, just to get rid of it. They sent us this big case of a vitamin called SAMe. Maybe you've heard of it, probably not. They sent us this big case of something called SAMe. And I can remember opening it and being frustrated, thinking, what are we going to do with all this SAMe? Nobody comes in here looking for this stuff. Nobody even knows what it is. And it took up an entire shelf, this case of SAMe, in our store for almost 2 years. And I thought it was going to go bad. I thought we were going to have to put it on clearance or just write it off because it expired. Until Dateline or 2020 or one of those news organizations did like a report on how SAMe was the new miracle herb that could cure all kinds of different things. Within 2 days after that report, we sold the entire shelf of Sammy we had. And this product, Sammy, that we were looking at, like, we can't wait to get rid of it, guess what we did? We started trying to order as much as we could of it. Why? Because there was a demand for it. And if the customers had a demand for it, we were going to do everything we could to supply it. That's gossip in your life. If you have a demand for gossip, because this is what we do. Well, technically, I didn't say anything. No, but you listened. And you were silent. And you didn't rebuke and you didn't correct. And we're going to tell you how to do that here in just a minute. And in your silence, you made the person think that you were agreeing with them. So you're just as guilty when you listen as when you talk. You have a demand for it, rest assured, Satan is going to stock those shelves with gossip. If gossip is your drug of choice, it is going to be really easy for you to find it on every corner in your life. Satan is going to make sure he sends people into your life, they're going to fill your ears with that stuff. So you got to cut it out. That leads us to our second point that the Proverbs tells us about gossip. Gossip keeps drama going. Keeps drama going in your life. If you're looking for peace, if you're looking for comfort, if you're looking for rest, get rid of the gossip in your life. Chapter 26, without a gossip, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. I've heard this somewhere before. Where do we hear this? Words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. You know what I've noticed about gossip? I've noticed in my life that the people that I gossip about are never the people that I'm praying for. And the inverse of that is true as well. The people that I'm praying for, I find it very difficult to gossip about them. We started this church, as I've told you earlier, 11 years ago in a few weeks. And ever since we started this church, there has been a group of people in town that have driven me crazy. And I'm not going to tell you who they are because I'm not gossiping, okay, y'all? So don't come to me or send me an email and be like, was it these people? No, I'm not going to tell you that, okay? But there's a group of people in Crossville that have driven me nuts. The only way I can describe it is they're like the thorn in my side. When I read Paul talk about the thorn in his side in the book of Corinthians, I've read all kinds of theories that it was a sickness he had or this or that, but I think it was a relationship. I think it was a person in his life that just drove him nuts because he obviously couldn't control it. There was nothing he could do about it really in his strength. He just had to deal with it. And there's been a group that have just gossiped about me, lied about me, lied about the church. Seems like they really don't want us to be successful and they hate the church. And again, I'm just going to be transparent with you and honest with you that I thought I was doing really good in dealing with it for the past 11 years. And the reason I thought I was doing good was because I never like would be out in the lobby with one of y'all on a Sunday morning running these folks down, talking bad about them. If one of y'all came to me and told me something they said or I saw something on social media, I didn't jump in and I felt like, man, I'm doing pretty good. Really, I wasn't. Because what I was doing was I was going to my executive staff meeting. And every once in a while, with these five people that are my executive staff, running this group of people down. Oh, wait. I was just venting. Anybody ever vented before? Raise your hand. I'm just venting. I just got to get no. I was gossiping. Oh, I was just, I was justifying, this was me. I was justifying it in my head. Well, you know, this is my executive staff, so like I can talk to them about this and maybe they'll give me some wise counsel. No, it wasn't about wise counsel. It was me wanting to talk trash about people that have hurt me, people that have harmed me, whatever. Well, about a month or two ago, I added these folks to my prayer list. It's interesting, like, man, you think about what Jesus said, pray for those that persecute you. Love your enemies. Go the extra mile. Started doing that. Isn't it amazing? Started doing that. Life got better. Started praying, God bless them. God take care of them. God, I pray you, stupid prayers. Bless them more than you bless me. Bless them in every way you can. And I found that it's very difficult to try to cut someone down that you're praying God would bless. So I would encourage you in your life, if someone's hurt you, someone's devastated you, if you got somebody that you struggle with a root of bitterness with, and you may be right, and you may be the one with all the facts, and you may be the one that's telling the truth, and they're not. It's not a truth issue. It's not a lying issue. It's an issue of, are you seeking to cut them down in front of others and make them look bad so that you can make yourself look better? Thirdly, what the book of Proverbs tells us about gossip is gossip kills relationships. It kills relationships. 16:28, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. This is an explicit command from the book of Proverbs, just like last week when we talked about drinking alcohol. And the Bible explicitly says, do not hang around drunks. Even if you're not getting drunk, do not hang around drunks because it will bring all kinds of problems into your life. Well, Proverbs, again, it's written to help us live a better life now. It tells us here, do not hang around people that gossip. Even if you're not gossiping, even if they're not gossiping to you, but you know they gossip, get them out of your life. Get them out of your life. Don't be so foolish to think that they're going to be your friends for a long time. Gossipers are just looking for a place to stick the knife in your back. Is everybody okay? Say amen. Amen. Listen to me. If someone will gossip about someone to you, it's a matter of time before they will gossip about you to someone. So please be wise. Please be smart and understand it will kill relationships in your life. Fourthly, the Bible tells us about gossip that you're a fool if you get involved in gossip. Everybody say fool.
Fool.
Fool. Look at your neighbor. No, I'm just kidding. But Jesus said we're not supposed to call people fools. Yeah, all through the Bible, it calls fools fools. So if you get involved in gossip, you are a fool. Chapter 26, verse 17. Like one who grabs, this is my favorite verse of the day, okay, y'all? Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel, not their own. You busybody, man, you start talking about somebody's situation that has nothing to do with you and gossiping, you may as well go down to the pound, find the biggest, meanest dog there is, grab it by the ears, and see how that works out for you. Y'all know what I'm saying? Y'all are laughing, and this is just straight scripture. This sounds like one of these country sayings. Yeah, you may as well grab a stray dog by the ears if you're going to gossip about somebody. You know what I mean? I love it. You are a fool if you grab a stray dog by the ears. You're a fool if you get involved in gossip. When we gossip, we lower people in the eyes of others deceptively. Amy Carmichael, who is a Christian writer, says this about gossip. And this is really something that applicationally helps us with our speech when it comes to how we talk about others. Four simple words: never about, always to. Never about, always to. You want to make sure you're not gossiping? Never talk about them. Always talk to them. Never about, always to. Say that with me. Never about, always to. Always to. I've told this story before, so you may remember it, but I asked my wife if she remembered it, and she said she didn't, and that's a pretty good indicator that y'all forgot it too. There's a story about three preachers that went to a pastor's conference together, and they were from the same town, and they rode together in one of the church vans, and they go to this pastor's conference, and it's incredible. God heals people. God sets people free. There's just great teaching, great everything at this conference. It's very emotional, very, very awesome. And so they're driving back from the pastor's conference in one of the church vans, and they're all three together inside the van, and one of the pastors feels convicted, and he speaks up, and he says, gentlemen, I feel like I need to confess something to you guys so you can pray for me and I can find healing from it. I want to confess the sin that I struggle with the most so that y'all can start praying for me. I struggle with lust. He says, man, I just can't help but if there's even a pretty girl that comes to church, I can't help but look several times. When I see pretty women, I tend to fantasize about them. I struggle with things online. And y'all, I just, to this day, I struggle with it. And I need y'all to just pray for me. Well, the other two pastors, they commit, brother, we're going to pray for you. Well, a second pastor steps up after this guy talks almost immediately. He says, you know, you've confessed, so I'm going to confess. And I got to tell y'all to pray for me. I love money. I have a love of money in my life, and everything I do is all about making money. I make decisions at the church so that I can make more money. I've actually not been straight up about the finances of the church, and I've stolen some money. And so y'all just need to pray for me that God breaks this in my life because I don't want to love money anymore. And the other two preachers, of course, say, yeah, we're going to pray for you. We promise we're going to pray for you. Well, the third guy doesn't say a word. And he doesn't say a word for like 30 minutes, and it's kind of awkward because they're sort of waiting on him. So the two preachers that have already confessed ask the third guy, hey, you know, we've confessed, and we're sure you've got a sin that you struggle with too because everybody does. You want to share what yours is so we can pray for you, brother? And this third preacher says, yeah, I'm going to share with you the sin that I struggle with the most. I struggle with gossip, and I can't wait to get home and tell everybody in town about what y'all struggle with. That's funny, because y'all can see it happening. You know, in a few weeks, I'm going to do a sermon on gluttony, what Proverbs says about gluttony. That's going to be great. I don't even want to be here for that one. Talking about little Debbies, right? This series has been like an equal opportunity offender, hasn't it? But what I've said about gluttony in the past and the way I've labeled it is I believe that gluttony is society's most acceptable sin in America. It's society's most acceptable sin. Well, if gluttony is society's most acceptable sin, gossip, by far, is the church's most acceptable sin. By far. Like, as Christians, we know we're not supposed to, like, punch somebody in the face. That's wrong. Shouldn't do that. But for some reason, we think when we talk junk about someone else, it's not that big a deal. And the Bible tells us something completely different. You guys that have been involved in churches, and I know some of y'all, you're new Christians. This is the first church for some of y'all that you've ever really been involved in. And we've got a very healthy culture here at Revelation Church. But I'm not stupid. I know that gossip still is here, right? You guys that have been involved in churches before, you've seen how destructive this can be. You know I'm telling the truth. When I say you show me a church where gossip is running rampant, I'll show you a church that is splitting. I'll show you a church that is falling apart, and I will show you a church that is almost dead. You know I'm telling the truth. You've seen it with your own eyes. You've heard it with your own ears. This is serious. Two tips that I'll give you on dealing with gossip that we try to put into place here at Revolution Church, and we're not always perfect with this, but this is what we try to do here. The first one is we often say here, when you have a root of bitterness with someone and you find yourself struggling not to talk junk about somebody, take it up the ladder is what we say. What we mean by that is, don't talk to another layperson in the church in the lobby about how so-and-so did something messed up to you. Go up the ladder. Come talk to a pastor. Come talk to one of the staff people. Come talk to a leader that will help you work through how to deal with what it is you're feeling and what it is you need to get off your chest, so to speak. If you're in a small group, don't talk to another small group member about how this small group member made you mad and try to make them look bad. Instead, go to your small group leader. Go up the ladder. Tell the leader, I'm frustrated by this. They hurt me. They did this. They did that. And let leaders help you work through the process of reconciliation. Because there is a process that is in Scripture. You guys know that verse that everybody always pulls out of context, where two or more are gathered together, I'm in the midst of you. People pull that out of context all the time. It's okay that they do it, but you know what the context of that is? It has to do with reconciliation. It has to do with people having to sit down face to face and have a difficult conversation because they're upset with each other. They're upset with something somebody did. And I would venture to guess that that's one of the hardest things for every single person in here to do. I mean, a lot of us have keyboard courage on social media, man. People got lots of courage when it comes to saying something online, which you'd get punched in the face for if you said half the stuff you say online, if you said it face to face, which is very destructive today. You got texting courage, but we're talking face to face. Work it out. So that you don't have that root of bitterness anymore and it doesn't get worse and it doesn't cause drama in your life. It doesn't separate you from God. The second advice I would give you is what we call on our staff and in our church, the 24-hour rule. The 24-hour rule means that if someone talks to you about gossip, you look at them and say, hey, you just gossiped about so-and-so to me. You got 24 hours to go talk to him about it or I'm going to. I'm going to tell him what you said. Y'all got to work this out. If you're a Christian that loves Jesus, it's another brother or sister that comes to you gossiping about someone, that's what you're called to do. If you do that with me, if you come to me like in the lobby and you say you tell me something about somebody and gossip about something, you know what I'm going to do? I probably won't even give you 24 hours. I'm going to be like, hey, Brooke, you know, you're talking bad about Brooke. And I'll be like, Brooke, she's right there. Brooke, get over here. Come on, this person's talking junk about you. And we got a misunderstanding here. They've misunderstood something. Two things happen when you do that. Number one, the person goes, no, don't get her over here. Don't get her over here. No, I don't want to talk with them because they're a coward. They're a coward. If you're a gossiping here, you're a coward. Grow up. This ain't high school. Quit acting like an idiot. No wonder you got so much stinking drama in your life. You act like you're 16 and a mean girl, and you're in your 40s with two kids. Grow the frick up. Are y'all with me? Say amen. This is just for the third service, okay, y'all? Man, it kills me. Don't come to me for counseling unless you want me to hear me say that to you. Quit gossiping. Shut up. The second thing that'll happen is guess what? They'll never bring gossip to you again when you do that. It's amazing. And you know what else happens? Gossipers run together because birds of a feather flock together, don't they? They'll go tell all the other gossiping people what you did and gossip about you and say, they tried to make me talk to them. Can you believe it? And then no gossiper will ever come to you again and you won't have to deal with it anymore. It just takes one or two times of doing that and all of a sudden they quit coming to you. It's amazing. Now the rub with that is, let's be honest, you're scared to do that. I'm scared to do that because we don't want to make them mad. We don't want to lose a friend. Are you kidding me? You think someone that does that is your friend? You think you're better off? Have we not made a biblical case here? You think you're better off having this person in your life? Can I reiterate something we said earlier? Everybody was shaking their head. You said amen too. If someone will gossip about someone else to you, rest assured, they're gossiping about you to someone else. They're just looking for an opening to stick the knife in your back. So don't mourn that relationship. Man, see it as a blessed subtraction in your life so that you can live for Jesus and honor him in your life. Makes sense to everybody? Say amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord, we love you. I pray for us in here. God, I really sense in this service that you really want to drive this point home. There are people that are held captive by the demonic influence of gossip in their life. You can call it habits. You can call it strongholds that are in their mind. pathways that they've created where they're just used to gossiping. They're used to listening to it. They have a career where they're around people that gossip the whole time. God, I just pray that we would be people, and I'm preaching to myself and I'm praying for myself right now, God, individually. We would be people that honor you with our lips. And we understand we're going to be judged one day for every idle word we say. So help us to be different with our speech. Help us, God. If the people of Revolution Church were different with their speech and biblical with their speech, it caused revival in Crossville. Everybody in town would say, man, these people are freaky weird. They don't gossip. They don't boast about themselves. They only boast about God. They don't flatter. Help us, God. This is hard. We love you. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Love you guys. You're dismissed. We'll see you next week.
If you're encouraged by today's message, be sure and rate us and subscribe on iTunes.